is August 26th. The day is finally here.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know what that means. Conor freaking McGregor and the money man Floyd Mayweather is finally, they're finally getting it on. I cannot wait.
Are you excited or are you dreading what's going to happen tonight?
I'm mixed emotions.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll...
Percentage-wise, how excited are you compared to dreading the moment where the fight actually happens?
Well, you know... Jeez, I don't know, Ryan.
I don't know if dread's the right word, but like I'm a little worried that it's going to be disappointing, and that after the fight, I'm going to be thinking back and saying I wasted money and I wasted some time.
I'm 75-25, 75% excited, 25% worried, and the only reason I'm worried is just if these so-called experts that have been all over TV and the radio saying that Floyd Mayweather is going to absolutely embarrass Conor McGregor, if that happens and that's true, that's going to be where my disappointment is. I am on the other side. I think even if Conor McGregor isn't close to being the boxer that Floyd Mayweather is, and a lot of people wholeheartedly think that, I still think that he has the knockout power, the movement, the style to make this interesting. And for all those idiots out there that say that he's not going to land a punch on Floyd.
Yeah, he's going to land a punch. Yeah. I mean, I don't care. A 40-year-old's not going to be able to avoid all these punches. And you can say Conor's not a skilled boxer. Sure, that's why he's going to lose tonight at some point, and probably by way of a knockout or a stoppage. But he's still going to be able to land a freaking punch.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, it blows my mind to hear people say that. I just literally scream when I'm like watching TV or listening to the radio and just want to be like, grow a brain. Like, how are you in that position
They're going to get into a boxing clinch at least, because Conor said he's going to put his foot firmly in the center of the ring and he's going to fight there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they're eventually going to tie up and he's going to use his MMA background and he's going to land some stiff shots, because also the referee, his nature is to let them go at it a little bit in that clinch.
No doubt about it.
So why wouldn't it? Is Floyd going to get around that clinch and keep moving around like he's Superman or something?
Yeah,
no chance in hell. He might not land a ton of flush shots to Floyd's head, but I'm sure he's even going to get one jab in. I mean, come on. It's not Floyd in his prime versus some really bad striker. It's still a pretty proficient MMA striker in Conor McGregor versus a guy who's retiring after tonight.
That's right. An extremely proficient MMA striker as far as I'm concerned, Conor. But we'll dive into all that here in a little bit later. We've got to talk about our great guest that we're having on the show here today in Mike Rodriguez, who just got a UFC contract at Dana White Contender Series with a round one knockout of Jermell Jones, and he landed a huge knee to set that up and finish it with some ground and pound. So we're going to talk to Mike. Again, he's coming back on the show. This is his second time. Also, a second-time guest on our show is Manny Bermudez, who still stayed perfect at 10-0 when he beat Bendy Casimir at Cage Titans 35, and he finished that via round one submission. This is a guy that very well could be in the UFC here very soon, so we'll talk to Manny about his latest win and what the future holds for him.
There are so many good prospects and guys who have been on the Contender Series from this New England area. I know Matt Bissett didn't have things really work out well for him, but then when you talk about a guy like Mike Rodriguez, he's doing big things. Who was the heavyweight? Was it that was just down there?
Oh, the dude from,
was
you had to ask me.
Greg
Rebello.
Yeah,
Greg Rebello,
yeah, he was down there too. So there's a lot of good representation from the Northeast that's making its way to the Contender Series, and guys that we'll have on here in the next couple of weeks, like a Ryan Sanders and a Nate Andrews, that also should be nearing that level of either being considered for that show or being considered for an outright shot at the UFC. So good job for New England MMA really standing up and showing off why this region is so proud of its mixed martial arts.
Yeah, and we got some stacked shows coming up,
man.
We really have some great guests. Obviously, like I just said, we got Mike Rodriguez and Manny Bermudez today. This is episode 72 of the program. And 73, we're going to have Nate Andrews and Juliano Catino, the new CES heavyweight champion. Also, Ryan Sanders and Carlos Candelario will be on episode 74. And we got plenty more as the summer comes to an end and we move into fall and football season.
One of my absolute favorites, too, that we've booked, and we'll have her up on an upcoming episode, is Heather Hardy, who, if you watch the MMA Hour, she's been all over that with Ariel Helwani. I think Ariel, though a proudly married man, I think he's got like a little MMA crush on her because he has her on like every single chance he gets to now. But yeah, she's got an interesting road, has a really fun backstory. She'll be joining us here in a couple of weeks' time as well. And she's now really making that foray into mixed martial arts and will be fighting in New England in October. So looking forward to that as well. But yeah, we'll also hear from Buster Douglas later on today.
Yep.
Giving his thoughts on his knockout of Mike Tyson and what he feels is going to happen in this fight as well. But before we break that down, because we'll do that after our great interviews here today, let's talk about what the big news was in the MMA world, Ryan.
The elephant in the room. Jeez, John Jones, what can you say? I feel so bad for Daniel Cormier. I mean, this is a guy that does everything right. He is the role model that you want as a champion, and now you just can't help but feel for the guy. John Jones, an unbelievable talent, but seriously, like, if this turns out to be true and he popped for steroids yet again, you have to start to question everything. You really do, because what does he think? He's bigger than the system? Is he better than everybody? Is he that arrogant that he thinks that he can just get away with you know, being sneaky and taking steroids? It's sad. You know what the standards that you have to abide by, so just do it. If you're that good, you don't need any performance enhancing drugs.
I got two questions for you. The first one is, what was the first thought that went through your head when you found out the news? Was it that, oh, John, what a dummy, he did it again? Or did you feel bad for DC?
I felt bad for DC,
yeah,
because it didn't surprise me. There's just something about John Jones that nothing that he does surprises me. And look, I'm far from perfect. Nobody's perfect. I want to give every single person out there a second, a third chance, because we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. But there's just something about John Jones that I don't trust. And he continues to prove me right with all these mishaps and mess-ups that he has. And, God, I thought he had finally turned the corner and he was going to start to do things right. And here we go again. And this seriously taints everything he's done, because you never really know how good he really could have been if he was clean, you know? Mm. I mean, what did Barry Bonds do when he wasn't on the
juice? Oh, he was a Hall of Famer.
He was a great player, but he wasn't knocking 72 home runs out of the park, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that power, that extra power that he got was from taking juice.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. Like, that kick may not have finished Daniel Cormier if John Jones was clean. That could have been something that he could have walked right through.
Right.
We just don't know the answers to that.
The fight could have been ended well before that, because who knows what might have happened. And you can say what you want to about the steroids, but the only thing I can say to this is,
hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
That's what when I heard about that, my buddy texted me and I said, yeah, I can completely am not surprised. Mm-hmm. Mother effers, because it's John Jones. Now, here's the other thing, too, that's coming out of his camp, is that saying, hey, he had tested clean every single test that the USADA had before, until the weigh-in test. The after weigh-in test, which is the one he got popped for, the steroid that's used in East Germany, in Russia, basically, back in the 70s and 80s. And they said, why would he do it when it takes such a long time for that to actually build up in his system and help him? Having it one time before the fight's not going to necessarily do anything for him. He is being set up. What is worse, someone setting up John Jones and trying to ruin his life, or him taking a steroid that meant absolutely nothing in helping his performance here for a fight after testing positive or testing clean every single time up to this positive test?
I'm not sure, quite sure how to answer that, because obviously if someone set him up, that's
awful.
That's unbelievably shady, and they should be putting up on charges or something.
In jail, yeah.
Something should happen, because you really can't destroy someone's livelihood like that without them knowing. Like, this, it's just not something that you can or should do. I just don't know. For me, Brian, if it was anybody else, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that was the case.
Like, if DC got busted.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if DC got busted, I think that's his reasoning behind how he thought he could beat John Jones is using steroids. So I think I don't know, but.
Right, but with John Jones, I'm not surprised. Like, you're going to have to show me some clear-cut evidence to tell me that he didn't take these steroids,
right,
and show me that he was set up before I'm going to buy it. Because, look, just look at his track record. Mess up after mess up after mess up.
So much potential, too. Come on, John.
It's really, really sad, because John Jones has the perfect MMA body, skill set. Everything that he brought to the game was, like, revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you see guys like you look at Mike Rodriguez, who's coming in today, that people should be like absolutely thrilled about his future and his potential, because he has that frame, that size, that he really could, you know, make a big, huge splash in the UFC. And you can't teach that. You either got it or you don't. And John Jones is really done a great job at destroying his how good he really could be when everything's all said and done.
Yeah, and he's facing a 4-year suspension from USADA, which, not saying it's the end of his career, because he'd be, what, 34 by the time that came around? But still, he would be so far behind the eight ball, he would have to fight. If I'm Dana White, if I'm still there in the 4 years, because who knows what life is going to be like in four years from now, I would make him work his way up from at least the 15th spot in light heavyweight. No, and again, no Brock Lesnar super fight, which he was going to make a ton of money off of either now.
And you got to think about this, too. A lot of these guys, once you get to that highest of levels, there's something that glory and that fame does to these guys. They thrive off of it. And you know for a fact that John Jones did. You could see it in everything that he did. He loved it. And so if he's going to be out for 4 years, what is that going to do to his drive? He's going to have to stay in shape and keep training and everything to evolve. You know, so he doesn't regress. How is that going to affect him? Because if he's gone for that long, he could come back significantly worse than he was when he was competing and training on a daily basis.
And there's a lot of talk about ring rust and how people believe it or they don't believe it. I am fully in the camp that 4 years away from competitive time inside an octagon is going to make you much worse. Like, there's a difference between him being 4 years suspended for steroids, not coming back and not being able to compete, than even GSP spending time away retired.
I knew that's where you're going
like,
with this.
There is a lot different. Like, I still think GSP is going to come out and he's not going to be the same guy we all knew and love. But I think John Jones would be a completely different animal coming back from 4 years under suspension, because I don't think he's motivated as much, especially in the first couple of years. Like, why train if I can't even get back in there?
That's right. But I think the difference with that is GSP, he left because he needed a break. He had other stuff going on.
Right.
And he still trained. He still stayed in shape and competed and kept his skill set sharp. He just wanted to get away from it all.
Yep.
And I think there's a big difference between stepping away out of your own decision and then being forced to step away because you keep messing up. You know. So and again, you know, what is John Jones? What is he going to do in this time off? If this really happens and he has this much time off, what is his lifestyle going to be like? He's already proven to be a little bit of a train wreck with his partying and whatnot. Who knows what kind of where he could go? It's scary and it's sad to think about.
You know what I think he does? And I'm not even joking about this. He was going to fight Brock Lesnar. He will still fight Brock Lesnar.
WWE.
He will do it at WrestleMania this year. He'll get paid $1 million to do so, and he'll be happy with it. And that'll eat up 6 months of his time. That is the thing he does.
Okay, so with the wrestling thing, obviously that's all scripted and whatnot.
Right, but it's something for him to do. It's a big payday,
no,
too.
Totally. Yeah. My question is this. Would they allow him to win that fight? I mean, this is a guy who's coming over for the first time.
And here's the thing. Brock Lesnar was out. His contract ended on WrestleMania, and he's lost a lot of potential contract leverage with the WWE and trying to make more money. He was going to go to the UFC and make a ton of money facing Jon Jones, and now he has, like, nothing. Like, if Brock Lesnar comes back now, who does he face? Is there any guy on the table that you say, like, I need to see him against Verdum? I mean, that could be fun, and he's still got a little leverage, but I'm not. It's not that sexy matchup that people are going to tune in from far and wide to see Brock Lesnar versus some no-name for outsiders who don't know mixed martial arts.
Yeah, what about Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Cormier? Two high-level wrestlers.
Oh,
what do you think?
I'm excited about that one.
Right? That would be interesting.
That reminds me, too. If Jon Jones does get busted, and not busted because he's already been busted, but if the second sample comes back and he officially does get suspended 4 years and he is stripped of his title, which he is yet to be of his lightweight championship right now. Do they give it right back to DC? Or if you're Dana White, do you give it right back to Daniel Cormier and say, we're sorry, you never should have lost this belt. If he was clean, you would have won. Or do you make him fight into a vacant title shot against, like, Gustafsson or Ozdemir?
I'm kind of split on that, and honestly, I think the way that Daniel Cormier is wired, that I think that he's going to be like, you know what, although Jones wasn't clean, I lost this belt. So I think the only fair thing to do would be to put it up here and have a 4-man title eliminator to have it. I honestly think
I wouldn't want to do that.
No?
I would rather say have him go against Gustafsson or Ozdemir. Have him fight against one of them and then have another number one contenders behind that one, too.
Yeah, I don't know. If something in my gut tells me that just Cormier, he's such a proud guy, but he also is about the rules and about right. doing things the right way, minus that whole like scale lean thing. When but that's small potatoes compared to the stuff that Jones did. But I think that he's one of those guys that would look at it like that, and he'd want to win it back because he did lose the fight, and he got knocked out, and he had a big concussion from it. And so I think that that's what he will want to do. Mark my words, I bet you that's what will happen.
Okay, but let's go into a semifinal, like a contender, like a little bracket style. Who's in there other than the three we've mentioned? Who's the fourth? Is it Manoa?
Jeez, Manoa.
That's the other problem. When you do this tournament, you've now officially killed the light heavyweight division because who's the next title contender afterwards, after that?
I don't know. Maybe bring back Rumble Johnson, convince him to come back in there. I don't know.
Well, actually, I would convince Rumble to be part of that tournament if you're going to do it. And that way you could at least have like two cards worth of good fights. You could have the lead-up ones, but then again, you have no contenders. That's the one thing, and that was the thing you were worried about too, talking back over the last couple of weeks, is light heavyweight is so thin right now outside of Gustafsson and Ozdemir and John Jones at the time. Because DC was on his way down, but now DC's back firmly planted in the top, and I don't know. I just worry for that division if they do that sort of knockout-style title eliminator type tournament.
And that's the thing. I've been saying it for a while now. Outside of those top guys, the light heavyweight division is as slim as it's been ever. That's why a guy like Mike Rodriguez is exciting, because you needed a little injection of life into that division. And the 205-pound division used to be the premier. That was the gold standard. You know, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture. You know, you could go on and on.
I have it now. Dana, listen up. Here it is. You do a title match or an interim title match, Gustafsson, Ozdemir. The winner gets the title and gets to hold it around their shoulder, their waist, whatever they decide. DC faces Brock Lesnar for the right of all clean athletes versus steroid suspended ones. And he takes John Jones' place because John Jones busted for steroids. So instead of having... And maybe they could put a steroid title belt on the line or something. One's a clean athlete, one's a roided up freak. He fights him at heavyweight, beats Brock Lesnar, then defends or fights for the title once again because he's got another win under his belt against either Volkan or Gustafsson.
I don't dislike that. My question to you is, obviously Cormier fought at heavyweight, but Brock Lesnar is cut from a different mold. He's a large, large man now. How would that fight shake out? Do you think Cormier would beat Brock Lesnar?
I think he would.
You do?
I don't think Brock Lesnar's... I think he's very beatable. Because let's put it this way. Do you think DC could beat Mark Hunt?
I
think he could.
Yeah,
and I think he would.
Yeah.
And Mark Hunt lasted all three rounds with Brock Lesnar. And honestly, people thought Brock was going to get dropped by him.
Yeah.
So I think, DC doesn't have the hands that Mark Hunt has to be able to knock him out if he goes for a takedown. But DC is sneaky, sneaky good at his wrestling abilities on the ground. And even John Jones, who's a really good striker too, he was able to keep him at bay outside of that one leg kick.
I just my thought process with Lesnar is that this is a guy that was battling diverticulitis, and he made it very clear that it affected him on numerous levels. So if he's 100% healthy and he's coming back and he wants to fight, that's a scary guy. I mean, he was the former UFC heavyweight champion, and he beat some studs.
Were you impressed, though, with him against Mark Hunt last year?
I mean, not really. But again, you know, he was still kind of freshly, you know, back and healthy again. He could feel a lot better now. So I don't know. It'd be interesting, but that's a huge size difference. Brock Lesnar, just looking at him, you always have to, you know, you kind of press pause regardless of whose opponent is, because you're like, geez, how can you go against this guy? He looks like a grizzly bear, you know. But again, like the biggest thing for him is he's got a glass jaw, and he doesn't like to get hit. And so if he faces anybody who lands some bombs, he's gonna turtle up. And Cormier has hands, so it could be interesting.
The other benefit of it too is if DC wins, then you can go down. He's a legit contender. Even if he loses, he goes back down, is still a legit contender for the title. He lost to a guy who got popped for steroids. And if Brock wins, hey, now he's a guy who's a viable contender for the heavyweight championship. Yeah. He could face Stipe.
Either way, look at this. We got plenty of material to talk about. So maybe John Jones did us all a favor and gave us more stuff to keep this train rolling.
I still can't say that because I really wanted to see him fight Brock Lesnar and then DC versus Manoa. It would have been so good. You could have still salvaged the light heavyweight, which, yes, save us, Mike Rodriguez. I think you could be the next bright star coming up. And we'll have to ask him about that coming up here, too.
That's right. We'll actually take a break and give a little shout-out to our main sponsor, the Sea Dog Brewing Company. And we'll be right back with one of the newest UFC members of the light heavyweight division, Mike Rodriguez. The main event is proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. The Sea Dog right here in Bangor is on 26 Front Street, right on the beautiful Penobscot River. You can reach them at the Sea Dog by dialing 207-947-8009, or if you want to check them out online, go to seadogbrewing.com. What you guys need to do is on Wednesdays, go spend your Wednesday night or evening, whatever it may be, at the Sea Dog. They have unbelievable specials. A 2-pound lobster with French fries and coleslaw, only $37. They also have a 14-ounce teriyaki ribeye with mashed potatoes medley, and that's $27. Or if you're not feeling like your paycheck isn't as much as it has been lately, you want to save a little money, they got you covered there too. Barbecue pulled pork sub, onions, peppers, and pepper jack cheese with shredded potato fries or sweet potato fries. That's only $12. So many different options for you to get at the Sea Dog. And as always, they have the delicious Blue Paw on tap and plenty more beers to choose from. Do yourself a favor. Go to the Sea Dog in Bangor at the Penobscot River, 26 Front Street, or you can call them 947-8009. Back on the show is a longtime CES standout and one of the newest members to the UFC roster. Mike Rodriguez joins the main event once again. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, definitely a pleasure. Very excited to see you get this contract. Long time coming. And what a huge win for you, Mike. Obviously, I'm talking about the Dana White Contender Series, round one knockout of Jermell Jones. When did you first find out about this opportunity to fight on Dana White's Contender Series? And how prepared did you feel heading into this huge, huge opportunity?
So I found out about this fight. Wasn't this fight originally. I was supposed to fight someone else. I was supposed to fight Daniel Spahn, and that was back in July 18th I was supposed to fight him. But I found out about the fight May, right after my Hoobin fight for CES.
Okay, so you've known about it for a little while now, and you obviously, that's such a big opportunity on such a huge stage, but you've been fighting for a while now. Did you feel any extra pressure going into this fight, fighting in front of Dana White at the UFC gym in Las Vegas?
You know what? I didn't at all, and that was a cautious thing that, you know, people were going in there with. Everybody's like, oh, you're going to feel – everybody thought that I was going to be – nervous about fighting in front of Dana White, not like my coach or anything, but just like friends and family. They all thought I was like, oh, they're like, are you gonna be able to perform in front of him? I'm like, you know, you can't have that mentality of who he is, because at the end of the day, he's a spectator just like everybody else. Like, you know what I mean? You go in there, you fighting him, you shouldn't be worried about him while you're trying to fight. Somebody's trying to knock your damn head off. You know what I'm saying? So I just was like, nah. I'm not paying that man no mind. I didn't pay him any mind or anything. After I won, I was excited. I yelled at him like everybody else do. And that was it. I didn't care for him going in there or after the fight, really.
Now, the other thing you probably didn't care for either, or at least really notice, is that it's a different sort of venue. And I've asked some other fighters from the Contender Series what it's like to fight in front of just a handful of people as opposed to an actual packed crowd where people are drinking and everything. What is it experience like walking in, not really any music, no fanfare, and just fighting in front of like 30 or so people?
It was still it was quiet. It was like kind of like awkwardly quiet. But the thing is that I watched every single contender series up until my own, until my fight. So I kind of was like used to it already. Like it didn't bother me.
Yeah,
it didn't bother me at all. Like it didn't faze me. I didn't think anything about it. I was in a fight. I have to fight. Like I can't be thinking about that.
And we're going to get to the flying knee heard around the world here in a second. But first, before, again, you said this was a different opponent than who you were originally slated to face. What was the game plan getting ready to fight Jones?
So the game plan was to keep your range and stop the takedown. We knew that if we stopped the initial takedown, the first takedown of the fight, that we were going to win the fight. Hands down, there was nothing about it. Like we knew that was gonna happen, and so I did a lot of wrestling with my wrestling coach Frank Camisa, and we literally dissected every single fight he had, even his wrestling career, just to see what shots he likes to use, what does he like to go for, what does he like to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that we can beat him. At his best game, we can just defend what he was going to throw at us. He was ready for whatever he threw at us.
Now, when you were in there with him, was he doing anything specifically that made you think that you'd be able to land a flying knee, which you clearly did, and it looked pretty flush?
Yeah. So in the fight, every movement that I was doing, whether I was striking or just moving, just rhythm, you know what I mean, just getting the rhythm, He bit on it. He reacted or moved with it. So, and you know, when you get somebody's rhythm, it can either end two ways. One, you can bait them to do like some crazy knockout, or you can knock out your damn self. So, I knew in that instance, I said, okay, he's biting on everything I'm throwing. I'm kicking at him, poking at him, doing all these things. He's biting. So I said, you know what? If I throw this jab and he bites off of it, I'm going to hit him with a flying knee. And sure enough, I threw the jab. He went down for a takedown, which I knew he was going to do because he just kept moving from everything, and I just threw the knee, knocked him out.
Yeah, and when it landed, did you immediately know it was over? You finished up with a couple of punches on the ground before the referee jumped in and stopped it, but did you know the fight was over at that point?
Yeah, so when I hit him with the knee, I didn't think he was out completely because I hit him with the knee and I hit him. I'm like, I don't know if I got him though, because it kind of like hit him in the shoulder as well. Like his chin was pretty. So I was like, I don't know if I got him. So I'm like, but then he went back and I felt him kind of limp up, and then I saw him like come slightly up a little bit. So I just punched him in the face and I knew he was out.
Yeah, and Mike, you and it was really unbelievable. I jumped up and I was like, oh my God, he just got a UFC contract right after that, because I knew that's what Dana White looks for. He looks for exciting finishes just like that. And you were really emotional afterwards inside the cage, which I thought added like a little extra, you know, specialness to the event. It really made the viewers, or at least for me anyways, it made you more relatable because you were clearly emotional. Did you feel 100% confident afterwards that you were going to get a contract? And secondly, just try and explain your emotions a little bit if you can once you did get that win.
So when I got that win, I was really, obviously you can see, I was very emotional. I just felt, and one, I felt me hitting that knee, I felt that it sealed the deal. Like, I'm like, this is it. I got this. Like, I'm taking him out of here. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is it. Like, I definitely got this. No problem at all. So he, I put him, when I put him down with that, I was like, this was it. This is the moment. But after the win, after I got the win and the ref stopped me, like, just the emotions that hit me, it was like, man, I didn't feel that emotional since, like, my cousin passed in 2014. Like, it just was, like, a big weight lifted off me. The fact that I've worked so hard to get to this, and I'm fulfilled, and now I'm living the dream, you know?
Yeah, you got to be. You got to be still on cloud nine. How did that night stack up? How did that night stack up to the greatest nights of your life so far? Is it in the top one or two?
That was the greatest week of my entire life. One of the best weeks of my entire life so far. Hope I have more to come. But it was just everything was perfect. You know, it was fun. Like, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if you saw my the video he did of us. He did the video vlog of me for my fight. That was fun. Like, just filming that. Like, everything was just so fun. Like, it was just a fun experience. It was great.
Now, I know
I was in good spirits. Like, it was awesome.
I know the UFC gym, of course, where the Contender Series is taped, is out in Las Vegas. So did you go out in the town and celebrate a little bit after that victory in the contract?
We went out a little bit. Didn't go too crazy because we had a flight in the morning. But, we had some food, a couple of drinks. It was good.
And you mentioned you yelled at Dana White after the knockout, of course, which went viral right afterwards. What exactly did you say to Dana?
I told him, I said, I belong. That was like the, pretty much like my motivation for this whole fight camp was to show him that I belong in that division, on that roster.
And Mike, you've had three round one knockouts in a row leading up to this fight, and this win gave you your fourth round one knockout in a row. Have you been feeling that your UFC dream was close to being realized prior to this opportunity?
Nope, I didn't at all. I don't like to get what's the word I'm looking for? Like, overexcited and like try to like foresee everything, you know. So I work in like just baby steps. Like, I'm always a baby step guy. Like, I'm like, all right, I got to get through this fight. I got to get through this. Like this guy's already talking about, oh yeah, John Jones tells the picture, I'm just trying to go and fight for the title, da, da, da. And it's like, bro, you got to fight the person that's funny. Worry about him first. Like, you know what I'm saying? Worry about getting through the camp. Worry about, like, you know, you got to worry about other shit before you can get there. That's what I think has made me so successful, is that I never, like, yeah, that's my end goal, was to get to the UFC, but that wasn't, like, I knew that wasn't, like I knew I had steps to go to first.
Sure.
I had hit all these benchmarks and goals before I can get there. I didn't just hop in and like, yo, I'm going in the UFC, blah, blah. Like, nah. I had to be more realistic about shit.
Absolutely, and here you are now. Now, I've been saying for a while, Mike, that the UFC light heavyweight division needs a new star. It needs an injection of something to kind of spice it up, because at the top of the division, there's some real killers that have some big names, but then as you get towards the latter part of the top 15 there, it's a lot of guys that maybe don't have such a big name, or, you know, aren't quite as, maybe well-rounded or as good as some of these guys in the top five. So having said that, how do you feel you stack up with the guys in the top 15, and how long do you think it will take you before you really move up that ladder where you're fighting a guy like an Alexander Gustafsson or a Volkan Ozdemir or someone that's right there at the top?
Oof, I don't even know. I'm just worried about getting the first fight in the UFC. I feel like I'm still not in the UFC yet, because I didn't even fight for the UFC, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, far in front of Dana, but who has it far in front of Dana, I feel like? So it's like, I'm not there yet. Ask me after my first fight, then we can talk about I'll answer that question.
Well, is there anyone that's currently at the light heavyweight division that you would like to face off against? Is there anyone in particular that stands out to you that you'd say, that's my debut fight in the UFC, I'd like to face them first?
Nah, I don't. Nobody in mind. I'm just willing to just great to fight whoever they throw in front of me.
And do you have any idea what time frame that you think you might make your UFC debut? Will it be before the end of 2017, or are you looking at early 2018?
Hopefully it's at the end of 2017, but. Yeah, I'm assuming that it's going to be there. I got a gut feeling that it's going to be. I got like one more fight before the year's out.
Now, I got to ask you this, because just looking at your physique and the way that you're built and your nickname being Bones, you're somewhat comparable, you know, to John Jones as far as your height and your stature and whatnot. Now, his situation right now with testing positive for whatever it may be, that puts things, you know, on hold for whatever his future is. But having said that, I'm just curious, when you think of, you know, Mike Rodriguez 5 years from now or 3 years from now, or whenever you reach the tippy top of how good you can get, how do you think you would match up with someone like a John Jones?
Oh, well, if he's not caught up on steroids, man, I definitely would like, that'd be awesome to fight him. Because, you know, I've obviously... Yeah, we're like remotely the same age, but I've always looked up to him, you know. He's like the dude. He's the GOAT, you know. Why everybody should look up to him, but, man, you know, that would be awesome to fight him.
Do you think that, I mean, with your size and your range and everything, that you could give him troubles that other guys who are smaller wouldn't be able to give him? I mean, you look at what Alexander Gustafsson did when they fought, and he had that size and that reach, and that seemed to frustrate Jones a little bit. Do you think you could do the same?
Yeah, I think so. But you know, Jones is a brilliant dude. So it's like, I know he learned from that, the mistakes that he made from that Gus fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it probably won't be as competitive. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even the right way to say that. But, like, I don't think it would, like, he learned from those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be even a tougher fight, I feel like, by the time I get there.
Who are some of your favorites in the UFC right now that it doesn't even have to be in the light heavyweight, but just some guys you enjoy watching?
John Jones, obviously. Anderson Silva, not as much now because he's, like, older, and I feel like he shouldn't be fighting anymore. But in his A-day, that was the man right there. I like watching Stipe. Stipe's the dude. Stipe's good shit. I like watching Luke Rockhold. I like watching Connor, obviously. He's the man. Mainly southpaws.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly southpaws. Majority of southpaws I like watching. Rory ain't in the UFC no more, but he was one of the dudes I used to like watching. Yeah, man, like, I like watching a lot of guys.
We're definitely going to dive into Conor here before our conversation is over, because today is August 26th, and it is the big fight night that everyone has been looking forward to. But before we get to that, I do want to ask you, Mike, although you haven't officially made your UFC debut, when you look into your crystal ball, so to speak, and you want to think about what your future will hold in the UFC, what are your end goals? When you're all done and you hang your you know, octagon shorts up and you put your gloves away, what is it that you want to say you accomplished in the UFC?
I want to say that I was a world champion and that I'm one of the greatest of all time. I want to be a Hall of Famer.
That's a perfect answer. I don't know. I don't know why anybody would get into this sport without wanting to do that.
Yeah.
I don't. If you're not into the sport for that, go pick up golf.
Which is another hard sport.
I always.
I don't know. I feel like if you get into a sport, period, no matter what it is, it can be handball. Like, you should always try to be world champion. Like, you should try to get there. That's the mentality of an athlete. That's what makes athletes better than the average taxpayer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to reach for the top, the pinnacle.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. Even when I was playing baseball back in Little League, I always thought I would be the center fielder for the Red Sox, and then realized I was not athletically gifted enough, but you at least are athletically gifted enough to make the UFC and have a nice long career that we're looking forward to. I have to ask, though. We ask all the Contender Series people about this, too. Did you have an interaction with Snoop Dogg, and how high did you get?
I got done fighting. We was in the back. I was calling my mom. I was calling my wife. Like, you know, talking to everybody, telling them that I won. I got the contract, etc. And Snoop was in the bathroom. Man, he was in the bathroom. I felt like I was gonna fail the USADA test right then and there. It was seeping out from the bathroom. I'm like, God damn. But he came out, He washed his hands. He's a hand washer, so that's good. We talked. He shook my hand, and he just gave me some good advice. Honestly, he gave me some advice about being in the public eye, and just no matter what happens, no matter what, like, you know, always be true to yourself and always be yourself. That was like one of the things that he was like telling me about. But yeah, he was the man.
Yeah, I got a chance to briefly interact with him. I lived out in Los Angeles for about 5 years, and I worked at a production company that did that show Dog After Dark on MTV.
Oh, God,
and so I was out back one day, and he was coming out of his trailer, and he'd open the door, and this smoke, I don't know what it was, but just come pillowing out of
the trailer. He's a big bonfire guy, big bonfire guy.
But yeah, very, very nice guy.
And thanks, Mike, for letting us know he's a hand washer, too.
Right,
I gained a little
important.
Bit more respect for him today.
Yeah, he's a hand washer. A lot of people aren't, man. Yeah. 80% of people go to the bathroom and don't wash their hands.
Yeah. So but. if there's a lesson to be learned from today for all of our listeners, that's the lesson, because too many germs and colds get spread by not washing your hands. So that's important to do that.
Yeah, for real, man.
So, Mike, before we let you go, we got to get your opinion on the big fight tonight. McGregor, Mayweather, everyone's talking about it. It's going to break everyone's wallets to order the thing because it's $100. But who do you got and why?
I want to go with Conor because he's an MMA guy. You know what I mean? I got to stick with, you know, the guys. You know what I mean? He's in my community. I got to represent him. But Floyd is the best ever, like they say, man. That man is going to pick him apart for 12 rounds. I think he's just going to pitter-patter him for 12 rounds. Keep that there. And then he got that sneaky right hand. He's going to crack him a couple of times. He's not going to finish Conor. Absolutely not. That's not happening. But he's going to pitter-patter him for 12 rounds. It's going to be obnoxious. It's going to be annoying. And it's going to make – I think it's going to make Conor throw big shots. And Conor's just going to miss even more. Like, the boxing game is different, man. Like, their timing is different. Like, yeah, Conor looks nasty. Fighting guys in MMA, like, I mean, you see when he tuned up Eddie Alvarez, he made Alvarez look like molasses. But now, going into a boxing, you think Eddie Alvarez looked bad? Wait till you see Conor. Conor's gonna look like shit compared to Floyd. Floyd's gonna be so fast, bro, so fast.
Yeah,
hitting him, blah, 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 with all these shots, blah, blah, hit him, blah, blah, blah. He's gonna be sticking him with shit, sticking him. And, like, I just don't think Conor, like, he's not going to be able to do it, man.
Yeah.
Don't sleep, though. If Conor cracks him.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
He's got
that
8-ounce glove, especially.
That's right. Mm. And he's got that big left, so if he touches him, who knows what can happen. But that's why we're all tuning in tonight, and it's going to be a spectacle, that's for sure. I can't wait to watch it. And where are you watching it tonight? You going to get together with some friends? Are you going somewhere?
Yeah, I'm getting together with some friends. We're going to watch it. We're going to chip in. I mean, I'm not making that John Jones money, so I still got to chip in.
Yet.
I can't just, oh, yeah, let's
that's
order
right.
it. No.
You're not making that's that John
that's
Jones
that's
money yet, right? Not
yeah.
yet. Just give it a little time.
John Jones money yet.
Well, Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Congratulations again on such a huge win.
Thank you.
We look forward to cheering you on throughout your UFC career and then having you back on the show again here real soon.
Yes, sir.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the fights tonight.
Yes, you guys too. Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Brian Stackpole, and I want to thank you for listening to The Main Event. And if you want us hand-delivered right to your phone every single time we produce another episode, well, here's a couple of ways you can do so. Go to iTunes, search in, and find our show, and subscribe right away. And while you're there, leave a nice rating as well, because it helps us provide you the best interviews, the best content available. We are also now available on Google Play as well, so go and check that one out. And we will be available in more places than ever before. If you're on social media, make sure to check out The Main Event Show on Facebook. Give it a like and be sure to keep up to date with all the latest news in the mixed martial arts world and also ways for you to interact with the sports you love. So make sure The Main Event is subscribed to on Google Play, iTunes, into your phone so you'll always have us with you. We can keep you company on those long rides throughout the state of Maine, New England, or throughout the globe. So make sure you do that, and we'll have more Main Event content provided your way coming very soon.
Back on the show once again is an undefeated fighter who improved his record to 10-0 with a round one submission of Bendy Casimir at Cage Titans 35. Manny Bermudez is back on the program. Thank you as always.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And again, you've been keeping on winning ever since we've last had John, nothing but wins. And this time, again, another round one submission. Talk about this fight and how pleased are you with your performance?
Oh, I mean, I'm super ecstatic with my performance. Bendy was a black belt. He's been fighting since 2001. I managed to get, I think it was like three punches off, and then he threw a kick, slipped, got on top of him, and choked him unconscious. So it was over in a minute and some change, but pretty solid performance, I think.
Absolutely. A minute 12, to be precise. And again, Bendy, he's had, 36 professional fights. And this right here was your 10th. So that's quite a veteran to beat. How confident did you feel going into this fight that you were going to get the job done?
I thought the fight camp that I took, it was, I mean, obviously it's summer now, so I had so much time to prepare and to train, to do all the extra stuff that, you know, that you should have been doing anyways. But in doing that, I managed to, even work a lot on the mental game of it, too. So, before the fight, I was just super, super calm, super relaxed. And even though Bendy was, you know, like a veteran, I knew I had to come in with kind of that veteran attitude myself, too. So I worked a lot on that, and then even 5 minutes right before the fight, some stuff was happening, and I was a little bit a little bit taken aback by it, but I managed to get my focus back, and I felt. And I was actually looking at Bendy's record the other day. The last person to actually finish him was Eric Koch, and every other fight he's had since then, where he's lost, it's been to other top guys in the area he fights in, but they're always by decision, and I think I was the first one to finish him since him, and before him was Ricardo Lamas. So
wow, so that's a very nice feather in your cap there. Can you elaborate on what was the news that you were told before you went in?
What was the what?
The news that you said that kind of flustered you a little bit before the fight?
Oh no, there was no news. It was just so that card. It was just a lot of things were happening, and the timing of the fight was, a lot later than I thought it was, and some fights are going slow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I was just gonna say sometimes that definitely must mess with your head as a fighter when you're back there and you're waiting to fight and it keeps just dragging along and it gets later into the night. How do you process that? Do you just keep on hitting pads and just staying busy so you don't think about it too much?
It changes every fight, honestly. I just kind of try to work on is my body, how my body feels and how how the night's going. Sometimes you just don't feel as pumped up, or sometimes you feel a little more pumped up, or whatever it is. I kind of try to think of say I was more tired or whatever that day, then I think, all right, I'm gonna have to fight this way, I'm gonna have to fight a different way than I normally would. But it all works with your body. It's compromising with your body and how you feel.
If you had the choice between opening up a card, at least in the regional level, or main eventing it, what would you rather do?
Oh, I would love to open it and then just chill the whole rest of the night to get it over with. But it's part of the game, though. If you're a professional, you have to be both good at fighting whenever they make you fight and dealing with it when you don't fight exactly when you want to. So.
And obviously,
it's all about being a professional.
That's right. And obviously, as a professional, the better that you get, the closer you're going to get to headlining a card, and that means last fight of the night. Yep. So you're going to have to just get used to this waiting around, Manny.
Yeah, you got to suck it up, right?
Now, Manny, you fought as low as 125 and then as high as 155, and the last two ones have been at bantamweight. Do you feel like 135 is going to be your home moving forward as you progress more and more into your career, or do you still want to fluctuate depending on the matchups?
So I never fought at 125. I fought a 125er that came up.
Gotcha.
So 135 in Chris Moutinho. But, locally I'll fight, I'll fight whatever, depending on the opponent, I won't go, too high. But, I fought, I think, most of my professional bouts at 45 just because competition was a little tougher to find. But if I was to fight, you know, in the UFC or some of the better people, I would be looking at 35 because every advantage you have counts.
Yeah, and what is it? Size. Yeah, what is that weight cut like to 35? Is that something that you could easily do at the next level of the UFC, or is it kind of a struggle for you?
It's not fun, but, you know, if they're paying me good money for it, then I'll do it.
What do you walk around at typically?
It depends. When I lift more, I get to, like, 65 around there, and then, you know, if you're not lifting as much or whatever it is, I get down to, like, 60 around there.
Wow, so that still is a significant amount of weight to cut. You have to be really strict, obviously, with your diet while you're in camp so you can even get to the point where you can get that water weight off to make 35?
Sorry, what was that?
I'm just saying you must have to be unbelievably strict with your diet while you're in camp to even, you know, get down to a certain weight where you have to cut that water weight to even make 35.
Yeah, you either diet off or you suck it up when you're in the sauna and doing all the Epsom salt and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, every fighter knows that. I know amateur fighters that cut way more than me.
Wow.
But and professional fighters that cut less. So it's all like a personal choice. I think you either want to fight the bigger people and cut more weight, or you know. It's all personal choice.
Sure. Now, I want to talk a little bit about a specific fight you recently had. All of your wins, but two of them, you have finished your opponents. You fought a really well-known veteran in Saul Almeida. That was at CES 39, and that went to a split decision. And I want you to just talk about that a little bit, that fight and how it shook out and, you know, what your thoughts would be if you guys, you know, tangled again at some point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so when I fought Saul, until a couple weeks out because, I hate like pulling out excuses and like that, but there was a couple of injuries I had that I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to fight, you know, like because of the injuries, but, I think it was two or three weeks out, I finally got cleared with my doctor. And so I was like, all right, we're taking this fight anyways. And, you know, we fought. I didn't feel 100%, but I still won. And so he was out there, you know, complaining about it and whatever. But end of the day, what happened was Saul fought a 35er, a younger 35er with no losses. And he, you know, he lost. He dropped the ball. I don't know if he thinks he's going to the UFC, but he's taken quite a few losses recently. And, I mean, I really have no idea where he thinks he's going. If he had his chance, he would have had it a long time ago, right? He was, I think he was like 7-0 at one point too.
Yeah, and his record has fallen quite a bit. I believe right now he's 18-7. And again, he is a veteran. He's a tough opponent. Do you feel like if you had a chance to fight him again, if that fight ever was to happen, that maybe you'd finish him the next time?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I mean, you can never tell with a veteran too. That's the thing. Like Saul fights so weird, and I think I was a little bit coming in with the wrong game plan for him. I came in hard that first round and then kind of gassed myself out pretty badly. But, you know, even gassed out, he couldn't finish me. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and that's just another reason why a lot of people are extremely high on you and your future and potential and where you're going to go in this sport. And having said that, before we get into the next level and all that, I'm curious, just looking at your record and everything that you've done so far, why have you not gotten a title shot?
A title shot?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not really sure. I think, you know, sometimes I've hopped around and fought for a couple different organizations too, but I've actually really never thought about this. So I don't know. I think they asked me a couple times if I wanted to fight, but then like an opponent for a title. But then the opponent fell through, and then another time I think I was at 45 or something like that, and the guy who had the title wasn't fighting, and then I think Frankie had a 45 title for Cage Titans. Back when I was still fighting at 45, things just never aligned, and honestly, it never like came to me to decide to fight for a title. But if it ever came around, I'm sure I'd do it.
Is that something that motivates you? Because I know a lot of people are motivated by titles and golds and everything, or is it just going out there and winning and then making it to the next level for you?
It's just about taking it to the next level. I mean, titles. I guess it's fun to say that you won a title, but I did it as an amateur. I got a couple of title belts for CFX and for Cage Titan. But honestly, it was it never felt real. Unless it's like a UFC belt, then it doesn't really mean much to me. But, you know, locally at least, I fought, you know, some real tough guys. I beat them. I don't think I need a title to establish that.
Well, speaking of the UFC, speaking of some of the bigger promotions, now with a double digit in the win column and still no blemishes in the loss column, are you hearing any rumblings on potentially being picked up by like a Bellator, a Professional Fighters League, or even a UFC at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the Bellator and the Professional Fighters League has always been, we've always been talking to them and stuff like that, but it's not like I'm really not interested in fighting for them. I'm interested in fighting for the UFC, so if the UFC decides to pick me up, then good, and then, you know, that's the thing I've been aiming for. And if they don't, then I'm just going to keep around here because, you know, just the pay for the UFC, and it's just a more well-known, you know, organization than Bellator in the was it Professional Fighters League?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so
they used to be World Series, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the UFC is just much more well-known.
Absolutely, and obviously that seems to be the goal for anybody that's really in your position, and it's completely understandable. So having said that too, when you look at this new show that the UFC is doing, Tuesday Night Contender Series, right there at the UFC gym in Las Vegas, there's been a lot of regional guys that have gotten a shot and have succeeded and have a contract. Now you look at Mike Rodriguez, who we just spoke with. You know, how close do you feel like you are? Do you feel like you should have already maybe been called and had a chance to fly down there and compete in front of Dana White?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't called me yet, but I mean, I've got a much better record than a lot of the guys that they've brought in to fight, especially at my weight. I've seen a couple of, I think it was like 4-0, 5-0 guys, and I mean, don't get me wrong, they're good and stuff, but 10-0 and 5-0 is a huge difference in the amount of fights. I'm not sure if they just don't need as many 35ers or what the deal is, but I think I have enough fights and proved myself enough that I think I should probably get signed straight up, but if not, you know, I'm certainly willing and able to fight at that show.
I was about to say, man, it's not like you're fighting tomato cans. Some of the last guys you've beaten are just been really big-time veterans in your division or outside of your division. So I would expect you to get a call here very soon because, I mean, it's been incredibly impressive on how good you have been. Last loss was in the amateur ranks back in, what, 2012? So it's been eons since you lost.
It was my second fight.
Yeah.
It's my second fight ever, and now I've got 18.
So if you need anyone to vouch for you, Ryan and I will both do so.
Absolutely. 100%. I hope Dana's listening.
Yes.
Because Manny Bermudez needs to get a shot at least on the Tuesday Night Contender Series to further validate his position to be in the UFC, just like our first guest here on today's show, Mike Rodriguez. So I got to ask you too, this, Manny. When you think about your future here for the next 2 years, obviously you said the goal is to be in the UFC. If you don't get that call within the next, you know, I don't know, 3 to 6 months or whatever it may be, how long realistically do you think until you're 1,000% feel like you're going to be in the UFC and steamrolling through the bantamweight division?
Let's see, how long realistically if they don't call me within the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll keep putting out people until they sign me, so it depends what number they want. If they want 10 guys, then in 10 guys, I'll be there. If they want 15 guys, in 15 guys, I'll be there, you know?
So you have no worry about picking up a loss and maybe having a setback. You're just going to go in there and face the highest caliber opponents offered to you?
Oh, of course. I mean, listen, like, if you make it to the UFC, it's no guarantee that you're going to stay in it. So you're going to be stuck there killing some guy they brought up from the favela of Brazil that's in there just to beat your ass. So may as well get good at it while you have the chance. And honestly, that's why I'm happy. I wasn't signed, you know, when I was 5-0, 6-0 because I've just gained so much experience since then, and I've dealt with so many situations that people at 5-0 and 6-0 haven't had to deal with yet. So, you know, I've had things go wrong in fights. I've had things go wrong in training camp. You know, all you want to do is get good and comfortable at what you're doing. So that's been the plan, and that's been what's happening.
So you feel like if you do, or when you do get to the UFC level, that you're going to stick around. You're not going to be like a one or two fight and done guy. You're going to be able to stay there for the rest of your career, right?
Yeah, I think it's stupid if you want to go in for one or two fights, because then you're just, you're not even the guy in the UFC. You're the guy that went to the UFC and got beat up. So
yeah, that's
I'd like to stay and make it an actual career.
Right.
And obviously your end goal is to win a title. How do you feel you match up with the guys in the top 10, 15 of the bantamweight division right now?
Right now? So, I mean, I think I was actually talking to my coach about this the other day, but there's a pretty big drop off from like the top three, you know, like Garbrandt, Cruz, Dillashaw, like all like those three, I think are killers. But then after those guys, well, they're not, you know, there's guys like Lineker and Font, and actually, you know, I think Font's awesome too. But there's certainly a drop off from like those guys in the rest of the division where, you know, you just don't hear them, you don't hear from them as much, and they're just not as well put together as you know, those top guys.
Do you feel like you could beat, like, a Jimmy Rivera or an Aljamain Sterling?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched too much of them, but I'm sure I'd put up a fight, right?
Yeah. And again, outside of that top, you know, I'd say five or so, there is a little bit of a drop-off.
Yeah.
But then you do have guys like, you know, Font who are climbing up the ranks, and it would be nice to see you get in there.
Yeah, I think Font's probably top five right now, right? Pretty good. He's been smoking people.
Yeah, his last fight was really impressive. Brian's going to look that up right now. We'll get the official.
He's 13th right now overall.
He's at what?
13th. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, the only guy that, you know, gave him trouble was Lineker, but how do you run in on a Lineker? You know, he hits so hard, and he's such a little, like, brickhead, you know? You can't knock him out. He's a tough dude.
For sure. And again, you know, there are a bunch of killers in the any division, really, in the UFC. So it's going to be exciting to see you when you get to that point. And both Brian and myself are positive that it's just a matter of time. So just keep on grinding away, and I'm sure that's going to happen for you, Manny. Before we let you go here today, we got to get your thoughts on what's happening tonight. Obviously,
I knew this question was coming.
100%.
How do you beat the best boxer ever? Like, literally the best boxer ever.
Yeah,
he's fought everybody. He's fought Maidana, who punches exactly like what everyone thinks McGregor should be punching like. So there's no way that Conor lays a hand on him tonight.
So you think it's going to be?
If he does, it's rigged.
So do you think Floyd is going to knock Conor out?
Oh yeah. He has those smaller gloves, and I think Conor just did himself in with that one.
Mm. Never thought of that, actually, because everyone thinks it favors Conor, but it actually could favor Floyd because he's not necessarily a power puncher, and it gives more power.
Yeah, you get hit with a little Floyd fist and get knocked out.
Is the sport of boxing embarrassed if this does go all 12 rounds, though?
I mean, it depends how the rounds go. Like, if Floyd's in there doing what he did with Andre Berto and getting behind him and dancing and you know, making jokes to the crowd while he's fighting, then that's one thing. But if Conor takes it to him, then, you know, actually, you know what? I don't think Boston can lose in this fight because Floyd's so old and Conor's just, you know, he's an animal in MMA standards, and he's come up to every single challenge he's had and, you know, taking it to him. So I guess he can't really lose, right?
Right. Official prediction, when and how does it end?
I'll go six-round Floyd TKO.
That's actually the exact one I have, too.
Really? Six-round
really?
TKO?
Yep.
Okay.
Good thinking, man, huh?
Yep. I've been saying it all week long. On the record, too. I was actually on air at the time when I said it, so.
Hey, okay. maybe he pulls a Lomachenko, makes him quit on the stool.
Well, either way, it's going to be a spectacle, and everyone is going to be tuning in and spending lots of money to help these guys' kids, grandkids, and grandkids' kids, because they're going to all be set for life with the amount of money that these guys are making tonight.
Hey, if Floyd or Conor wants to adopt me, too, go for it.
Yeah, I'll just work for him, too. I'll be, I don't know, a hype man. I'll just walk around yelling their
name. Man,
yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll hold up whatever Irish flag or money team shirt they want me to hold up.
That's true. Hey, look, man, the money that they're making, if they just give you a fraction of what it is, you're going to be set for life. But again, Manny, you got big things in the future for yourself, my man. So we look forward to watching you progress and getting you back on the show soon.
Thank you very much, man. It was awesome talking to you guys.
And Manny, when you become like Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, whether
I'll adopt you. Don't worry.
Yeah, you can adopt us too. Just remember this; it's contractually binding now.
All right, take care, boys. Thank you very much.
All right, enjoy the fights.
Thank you, too.
The main event is proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. The Sea Dog right here in Bangor is on 26 Front Street, right on the beautiful Penobscot River. You can reach them at the Sea Dog by dialing 207-947-8009, or if you want to check them out online, go to seadogbrewing.com. What you guys need to do is on Wednesdays, go spend your Wednesday night or evening, whatever it may be, at the Sea Dog. They have unbelievable specials. A 2-pound lobster with French fries and coleslaw, only $37. They also have a 14-ounce teriyaki ribeye with mashed potatoes medley, and that's $27. Or if you're not feeling like your paycheck isn't as much as it has been lately, you want to save a little money, they got you covered there too. Barbecue pulled pork sub, onions, peppers, and pepper jack cheese with shredded potato fries or sweet potato fries. That's only $12. So many different options for you to get at the Sea Dog. And as always, they have the delicious Blue Paw on tap and plenty more beers to choose from. Do yourself a favor. Go to the Sea Dog in Bangor at the Penobscot River, 26 Front Street, or you can call them 947-8009.
Sound means it's the final countdown until tonight, where we finally get to see whether or not Floyd Money Mayweather gets to be the greatest record holder of all time in professional boxing at 50-0, passing Rocky Marciano's 49-0 mark, or if Conor McGregor can kill the sport of boxing all by himself with one firm punch to the face. Ooh, McGregor Mayweather, Mystic Mac saying he's going to knock him out inside 4. And Floyd actually saying he's going to knock him out, too. He said it will not go the full 12 rounds. So I'm excited to see how this all plays out.
Wow. I can't wait for tonight. Like we were saying in the intro, Brian, I'm 75-25 because, you know, I'm a Conor guy. I love him. Sometimes he can be a little too out there for me a little bit. but all in all, what I love about this guy is the confidence he has in himself. I think that is... when you're around people like that, it brings you up. It makes you feel better about yourself. It makes you feel like you can do anything. And Conor has always said he follows his life by The Secret from Rhonda Byrne, like attracts like, and you can manifest your destiny and everything. And he truly believes that he has. And if you look at the words that have always come out of his mouth and what he's been able to back it up and what he's accomplished and now where he's at, I'm going to have a tough time betting against this guy because he always seems to come through. So that's one of the reasons why everyone is so just infatuated with him, and why this is such a huge event is because you don't see many guys like this. He's one in a million.
By the way, did you see during the press conference where he said, like, one of the media members asked him, he said, do you think you could be doing more boxing in the future? And he sort of hinted at him doing his own promotion.
Yep.
And
I saw that.
Did you see Dana's face?
Yeah.
Oh my God! It was like, please no, please no. I don't want the UFC to be competing with McGregor boxing promotions or McGregor MMA promotions, because say what you want to about Conor, people are drawn to him.
Yeah.
And there's a certain subsect of MMA fighters and boxers that would go and fight under the McGregor promotions banner that would probably be a little bit of a detriment to the UFC, but I don't think he's going anywhere, especially considering Dana's said on the record that he would consider giving McGregor a portion of the UFC to continue to fight in the promotion.
Yeah, and again, I think with how young McGregor still is, when anybody says, oh, well, he could be done after this. If he wins this fight, why come back to MMA? He's going to retire. He's going to be set for life. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because this guy is driven off of competition. He wants to go down as one of the greatest ever, yeah. and he's not done. He has other things to accomplish in the world of MMA before that's going to be considered to be a fact. So we're going to see a lot more, Connor.
I think he's got four more fights in him. Three in MMA, one boxing. He'll fight Paulie Malignaggi at some point, but that's going to be the next fight. Win, lose, or draw, he's going to fight Paulie. I think they've sown the seeds there on some of their interactions and just the bad blood there, and I think it's enough that people will be interested, especially if Connor doesn't get knocked out in the first round or so. If he shows enough in the boxing ring, people will buy the next fight. And I think, boom, you've got Conor McGregor there. Paulie Malignaggi is going to sell not necessarily 4 million pay-per-view buys, mm-hmm. but it sells maybe 1 million. Right. And that's still going to give both the guys a ton of money. So that's going to be one. The other three I think I could see him doing, Khabib in Russia defending the 155 title belt. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that one because then he could do like a Rocky. He goes right. in. He defeats the Russian conquering hero in his homeland, which would be a huge feather in his cap, especially if Khabib's still undefeated by that point.
Yep.
So that's one. The second one, GSP, no matter what happens against Bisping, fights down against Woodley. Woodley loses it to GSP. He holds both belts. You have a double champ versus a double champ.
That would be really interesting.
For the 170-pound title.
And I know what your next one's going to be. It's going to be him and Diaz 3.
That's the ending. That's the last one of his career is him versus Nate Diaz. The trilogy ends, especially after Nate beat him the first time, Connor beat him the second time. Though Nate still contends he beat Connor in the second one, the 5-round war, this could be the ending one, and you put the title on the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows what the future holds, but I like all of that, and it'd be pretty neat to see if any of that, if it does happen.
Okay, now, speaking of titles on the line, before we go into hearing from some of the guys and our experts here, do you want to put the title on the line? There's only one fight we'd have to do it for. It would be Mayweather-McGregor. Do you want to put the title on the line? Are you going to be like Mystic Mac and call yeah. your shot and say that McGregor is going to win so you'll have... Mm-hmm.
So this is all contingent on the fact that you're certain that Mayweather is going to
yes.
finish Connor, and you say round six.
Okay, here's what I'll do too. If it goes full 12, it'll be a draw. So you keep your title belt regardless of the outcome.
Okay, I know. I have an idea. I got something that we can do. Okay, this is what we should do because Mayweather is okay. such a huge favorite. Okay, because
no,
he
but
is
he's
such
not
a
huge favorite.
He is
anymore.
A huge favorite.
No, he's not.
He's still a big favorite. Most people.
No, he's like 250 now.
No, he's not 250. He was.
He was like 350, and he got bet
450.
Down again.
It's 450.
Oh,
right
he was.
Now.
I see. He was at like 350 a couple days ago, at least.
He's back up to 450.
Yeah,
I was watching the
weigh-ins. $1 million bets. Yeah. Jeez. That's still not a huge favorite, man.
But when you look at it,
he's
in
like
the
at 1,000
general,
a couple months
but
ago.
But you're talking about Vegas betting. I'm talking about the media and general yeah. Public opinion. Most people think that McGregor doesn't stand a chance, right? You can't disagree with me there.
Okay.
Most people think that he's going to get tooled on, right? So if you want me to put the belt on the line for a boxing event when we're having this belt for MMA stuff,
hey, I'm just saying.
Okay, let me finish.
Okay.
So if you want me to put the bell on the line, you need to be correct in your assessment that he's going to finish McGregor. If he doesn't finish him,
I win. Okay, yeah. No, that's what I said. If it goes 12, then you would win.
Okay.
It would be a draw, regardless of the outcome.
Okay.
So
I'm
if
good
Floyd
with that.
Won, okay.
If Floyd's not
so
going to knock Connor out.
He's got to knock him out, and then I would win. And then if Connor wins, or even if Floyd wins, but it goes all 12 rounds, so you get the insurance. Floyd has to win by way of a knockout or a stoppage before mm-hmm. the end of the fight.
That's correct.
And then anything else is you retain.
That's right. Okay, I'm good with that. Let's do
that
it because
works.
I'm not gonna
okay.
go. I'm not gonna go against my guy Connor. And
right.
even when he's been in, everyone thinks that he doesn't stand a chance and he has all this adversity against mm-hmm. him and yada yada. He still comes through. Now, having said that, out of all of the fights in the past that Connor has fought in the MMA world. This fight against Floyd is one that I'm probably the most nervous about, and I will say that because it's a different sport. This isn't MMA. Obviously, with boxing, all Floyd has ever done is train his hands,
right.
and so you'd think that he has a significant advantage because that's all he's ever done. Conor has to devote time and energy into wrestling and jiu-jitsu and into kickboxing, and you know he needs to work his elbows and his knees and getting off his back, like anything and everything as far as fighting goes. Conor has to put energy into working his game to be as well-rounded as he can be, and Floyd is just hands. So that gives Floyd, it should give Floyd a significant advantage. I think the thing that makes this closer and make it a little bit more even is a few things. It's Conor's age. It's Conor's size and,
yep.
and his reach and his unwavering self-belief. And whether or not many people would agree with me, I do think that Conor has gotten into Floyd's head a little bit.
Yeah.
Not like he did with Eddie Alvarez or
Jose
Aldo.
There.
Yeah, but I do think that he's gotten into Floyd's head just a touch. And if he has, if I'm right about that, that is all that he would need to capitalize on that big left. If he lands a big left tonight, that's going to make Floyd start to think a little bit. If Conor is in his head, and if that's the case and he does land that shot, we could be in for a historic upset, something that we've never seen before. And that's what I'm holding on to. I really think that Conor is one of those guys that's one in a million, and his belief in himself and everything that he's done, I think that we potentially, I'm 75% sure on this,
yep.
that we could be in for a historic night.
Yeah. If Conor wins, this is going to be a night people remember for eons. You can say what you want to about the age of Floyd Mayweather, but still, it's something you can tell your kids and be like, wow, I was there for when they had this big spectacle. It was an MMA fighter against a boxer in the boxer's sport, and the MMA fighter went out on top, and he dropped the most F-bombs I've ever heard in my life afterwards and said, give me my belt. I'm the champ, champ, champ.
I'm the triple champ.
The triple champ. Yeah, it's going to be fun regardless, and I think the fact that 14 pounds of weight differential on the weigh-ins, Conor saying he's going to be fighting at 170 at the time of the fight starting, he is going to be the significantly heavier fighter, so as long as he doesn't gas out, that could be a huge advantage for him. Quickly, what are your thoughts on the money belt? It's got like gold up the wazoo, diamonds and everything. It's Italian alligator skin. Is this something that's kind of cool?
Yeah.
I mean, title, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like, jewelry, money, I like all that stuff. So, if you know, whoever wins this fight tonight to get that, I mean, you go and you put that in your man cave, in your mantle or whatever, I mean, you bring your friends over, whoever it may be, to look at that, they're going to be like, damn. That, I mean, yeah.
I don't think Floyd has a man cave.
I think he has a man mansion,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Where all of his stuff is just, like, scattered around like a museum.
A man cave's for, like, an old married man who just, like, needs to get away from his wife. I can see Conor having a man cave like way down the line, but I do not see Floyd having one just for some weird reason. We have had some great voices and some great minds in the mixed martial arts and boxing world discussing this over the last couple of weeks. And let's start with a guy who's pretty familiar to this area, and Marcus Davis, who didn't really pull back any punches when he talked about what he thought was going to happen between Money Mayweather and Mystic Matt Conor McGregor.
Yeah, let me tell you, this is the way I look at it. Floyd should be able to do whatever he wants with him, and if this fight goes by six rounds, that's an embarrassment for boxing. If it goes past six rounds, that will embarrass boxing. So, you know, even you know, it's just not the same sport. Like, you know, it isn't. And I've watched McGregor with his boxing and his sparring and stuff, and it's not even going to be. It's not even going to be close. It's going to be a great way for him to make money and for fans to be able to see it. But, you know, I just don't see it going beyond six rounds.
So Marcus not really giving much hope for Conor McGregor, saying that Floyd's going to win this one pretty easily. But you know what? Time will tell. We'll see when the fight actually gets going.
That is true. And again, Marcus comes from that world of he was a pro boxer before he went into MMA. So he understands that, you know, you need to devote your whole life to boxing to get to the level where Mayweather is at. And I'm not so sure that Marcus is completely sold on Connor's full powers and how good he really is. So and Marcus comes from that old school too. So you know, but again, that's his opinion, and you got to respect it because he's a proven guy and knows his stuff.
Well, let's keep going in the world of mixed martial arts. We had the luxury just a couple of weeks ago of talking with Dean Thomas, who's pretty tight with Dana White, actually here in Bangor, Maine, as part of the Looking for a Fight series on YouTube, and he knows the man quite well. So we know Dana's allegiance is strongly in the Connor camp, and he thinks he's going to be knocking him out in four rounds or so, and he's going to take home the money belt. But what does Mr. Thomas think of what's going to happen coming up later on this evening?
Yeah, I don't think Connor is going to be able to finish the fight, honestly. I think you know, Floyd is going to take his first couple of rounds to kind of move around and just, you know, show his brilliance without really doing much, but just being brilliant out there. And then I think by the fourth round, he's going to start touching Connor up. And then by the seventh round, I think it's going to start getting unbearable to watch. And the ref's going to eventually jump in and go, all right, you know, you've had enough, kid. You fought a good fight, but you had enough.
Yeah, it really is. That seems to be the sentiment that most people say, because it really is. It's a different sport, MMA and boxing. Although, you know, Connor's hands are great, you know, that's all Floyd does is train his hands. But either way, it's going to be a lot of money to be made on both ends.
Yeah, I mean, people, like, the thing is, you know, the last couple of years we've been paying a lot of attention to Connor, and he's said a lot of things, and he's done a lot of what he said. So it's like, you know, it's like, how do you bet against a guy who said that he was going to do so much and did it all? Like, is he really this, you know, the second coming? I mean, he really appears to be that. But when you start doing your research on Floyd was no different. Floyd did exactly what he said he would do, too. You know, Floyd is no different. In fact, he did more. I mean, he was world champion in five weight classes. He's, you know, undefeated for 21 years. You know, not three, but 21 years. So, you know, that's going to be hard to beat him. Especially an MMA guy.
Right.
You know, it's just a different world.
So maybe not as poignant as what Marcus Davis said, but interesting nonetheless from Dean Thomas there, too.
Yeah, what a great interview that was.
Oh,
it was really nice to have him on. We've spoken to him twice now when he did come to Bangor for the Dana White Looking for a Fight show, and then again on this episode that we had August 5th. What a fantastic guy, and obviously he's extremely well-known and well-respected in the sport.
And finally, let's go to the boxing realm, because we had the privilege to be in the presence of one James Buster Douglas, the guy who knocked out Mike Tyson. And if anyone's going to have a sort of James Buster Douglas type day, it's going to be Conor McGregor. He's going to need that upset punch that shocks the world, much like old Buster did back in the day. And I think, what was that, in Tokyo, Japan, way back when? It was early in the morning. Not a lot of people even saw it. So,
right.
So if there's one guy who knows, it's James Buster Douglas, who talked about that shot heard around the world and also what he thinks of the festivities that'll go on later on tonight.
The knockout of Mike Tyson, just what went through your head, if you can remember, back when you did get that victory over a guy who most people thought was unbeatable?
Well, it was just an opportunity. It was my second opportunity of fighting for the world title. And I just made the best of it. You know, I was very familiar with my surroundings. And I was just more comfortable with me performing up to my standards. And, you know, it was a very satisfying victory and a childhood dream come true.
There's a big fight coming up in August between an MMA practitioner with two world champions against probably, arguably, the greatest pound-for-pound fighter of all time in McGregor and Mayweather. What are your thoughts on that fight, just in general?
It's an event. It's a big event that a lot of people want to see. I'll definitely be tuned in. We'll just see what happens. And it's just the lure opportunity for McGregor to do something that has never been done before. And also an opportunity for Mayweather to become an all-time great. So there's a lot at stake there. It's just, I'll be tuned in to see what happens.
What would your advice be about being a big underdog going into the fight like Connor's probably going to be, to go out there and try to shock the world, so to speak?
Well, just believe in yourself and your abilities. And like my dad always say, let your hands go. But in his case, let your hand go. Oh, he can't let his feet go. So let your hands go.
All right, last two questions. One, who do you think is going to win? Do you think it's probably going to be Mayweather, or does everyone have a puncher's chance and you like what Conor can bring to the table?
Yeah, everyone has a puncher's chance. Well, we have a punch. Conor seems to have a punch. But I foresee Mayweather handling him pretty easy with his skill set. He doesn't seem to have been diminishing any of his reflexes. So, yeah, I would say Mayweather.
And finally, what boxers do you like watching? I know we were talking about Ward, Triple G, Canelo Alvarez. Who are the guys that you really enjoy watching?
Ward, Triple G, Canelo, you know, oh, and I can't forget my guy from Omaha, you know, the baddest of the whole bunch, you know. His name escapes me. The one you see, the one everybody's ignoring, Triple G,
right.
Canelo, all them, fighting amongst themselves, but they're leaving him out. He's the one that's going to end up being standing alone when all the smoke clears.
What about Anthony Joshua? Have you been impressed?
Oh, great heavyweight. Yeah. Well, he's got a great future. Got up off the ground and took care of Klitschko. I hear they're rematching, surprisingly. But I like to see Joshua and the American heavyweight champion, Wilder. That's going to be an interesting fight, if that ever comes about.
All right, so three great views. That last one from James Buster Douglas, along with Marcus Davis and Dean Thomas. Now time for our official predictions. Ryan, I'll let you go because I think I let the cat out of the bag on what my prediction is. But what is your official prediction here tonight that if you had to put some money on it, what would it be?
Well, I'm not putting
okay,
anybody.
No, okay, what's your official prediction? Because I don't want you to put money on it because it might skew your prediction.
Yeah. So. What did Mystic Mac say?
Under four rounds. That's an awful Irish accent. I apologize.
Four rounds. I'm going to get him in four rounds. Mark my words.
Maybe three.
Yeah, three rounds if he's lucky. That way he won't have to deal with my power for four rounds. It's getting pretty good, right?
Yeah. You said three, though. He says tree.
Tree. I said tree.
Tree.
I'm going to go with whatever Mr. Max says. I'm going to go with that.
Wow. You're drinking the Kool-Aid hardcore. Yeah. Will you be donning an Irish flag tonight while watching?
I have a Conor McGregor t-shirt.
No Irish flag, though? I think
no
you need
Irish
to go pick
flag.
One up.
No, nah, I'm good. Yeah. The Conor McGregor t-shirt is good enough.
Okay.
So I'll wear that, and I don't know, maybe a hoodie over it or a jacket because it's starting to get a little cool.
Do you have a TMT sweatshirt just in case to wear when you walk out so you can save face?
Okay. No.
So what round?
I will say if Conor wins this fight, it will have to be by way of knockout.
Yes.
If it goes to a decision, I don't see any way, even if Conor does look really good and people say it's close, there's no way that the judges aren't going to give the fight to Mayweather.
Not in a boxing match.
Yeah,
no.
Not in a boxing match. If it goes to a decision, Mayweather will get the nod 1,000%. So Conor's going to have to knock him out. And if he does knock him out, it's going to be early before he gets more tired. So it's going to have to be in the first three or four rounds.
Okay. So I've already said what I think, and it's going to be, in my opinion at least, a six-round TKO or a stoppage in between the sixth and seventh round. That's what I would say. It's going to happen in the sixth round. That's the one to keep the eye on. I think Conor will have some good looks maybe in the third, fourth, or fifth rounds. He might actually land some punches, which will get people excited. But then Floyd's going to have so much left in the gas tank, he's just going to just rue the day. He's just going to dominate at that point, and he's going to end it.
Well, we'll see. That's why we're all tuning in tonight.
But before we leave, we'll get a little bit of Conor here because I think we need to. Maybe he can change this from double to triple when all is said and done.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
The triple champ does whatever the bleep he wants.
I'm
pulling for Conor. I just want to be on the record. I want him to win. I think it would be better overall for a talking point if he wins, but I just don't think he can.
If he wins, he's going to have to move to Mars. Seriously, he's going to have his own island.
Oh.
It's going to be he's going to be one of the biggest celebrities in the world.
Do we see a second fight if Mayweather loses to McGregor tonight?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think if Mayweather
we have three fights,
if Mayweather loses, absolutely we're going to see another boxing match, but I think the only way that Conor will want to give him a rematch is if he agrees to meet him in the octagon. Which would be...
See, I think there's going to be a second match between these two. I just think it's going to be in the octagon if Floyd wins.
I don't. If Floyd wins, there's no way in hell that he's going to want to fight Connor in the
octagon.
He
could make so much more money too, and it wouldn't be a blemish on his pro boxing record. He'd be 50-0, and then he'd move into the octagon. It would be an MMA fight.
But he's never lost, and to see him get in there and get absolutely destroyed, that's going to do something to the public persona of
Floyd
Mayweather.
It's
going to
put a third fight into their houses for another night. Yeah. Actually, probably 150 at that point, and it's going to be kickboxing.
Oh, man.
Boom. And it still doesn't hurt his record.
Well, we'll see.
Let's put it this way. If Connor wins tonight, they will have a second boxing match. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. And that pay-per-view is going to cost $99.99, if not $124.99, if not $199.99. It's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be a fun night, Brian. We're going to have to have a little bit of fun ourselves and maybe tip a couple back and enjoy, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
And we will see who is holding the belt come this time next week. Well, enjoy tonight. Thanks again for listening to this episode. We'll be back again here very shortly with another brand-new edition of The Main Event. For Ryan Jarrell and Brian Stackpole saying peace. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.